The concept of artificial intelligence has been in movies for decades, but since 2020, a type of technology designed to generate human-like responses to a given prompt or input has made this AI software an increasingly popular tool for all ages. I'm Skynell Houston on this edition of 360 View. We are going to ask if the development of a ChatGPT, it will enhance our daily lives or lead to our own demise. Let's get started. Artificial intelligence was developed during World War II to merge the functioning of machines and human beings. But recently, a new model called ChatGPT, or Generative Pre-trained Transformer, has gained significant attention and interest from various communities since the technology's launch in 2020. Now, many people use language models for a wide range of purposes, such as generating creative writing, automating customer service, assisting with research, and even generating new ideas. The ease of this AI trend is expected to grow as more people become aware of the benefit of AI language models. But while AI has many potential benefits, it also has some possible drawbacks users should be aware of. Now, let's start with bias. AI systems are only as unbiased as the data they are trained on. If the data has biases, the AI system will also have those biases, which can lead to unfair and discriminatory outcomes. The lack of empathy. AI systems are not capable of emotions or empathy like humans, which means they cannot understand human feelings or even their experiences. This can make it difficult for them to provide appropriate responses to emotional situations. A dependence on data. Now, AI systems require a large amount of data to train and improve their accuracy. This means they are only as good as the data they have access to. And if that data is incomplete or inaccurate, the AI system will also be flawed. There's also a worry about causing unemployment, as AI has the potential to automate many jobs, which could lead to unemployment for some workers. This could have some significant social and economic impacts, particularly for those who are already disadvantaged. And lastly, probably most importantly, the security risk. AI systems can be vulnerable to attacks and hacking, which could lead to the exposure of sensitive information or the manipulation of data for malicious purposes. Now, while AI has many potential benefits, it is important to be aware of these drawbacks and work to address them to ensure ChatGPT and other AI systems are used ethically and responsibly. So to discuss, let's bring in our guest, Ian Khan, CEO and founder of Futuracy Research. Thank you, Ian. So do you think ChatGPT and other chatbots are a danger in that they are collecting personal data from individuals?
There is so much happening with ChatGPT-3 and generative AI. When it comes to the question of collecting data and collecting information, we have to realize that these platforms and this technology of generative AI is trained on a lot of data. So a lot of that learning has been already been done on tons of data. And it's impossible to tell what that data comprises of exactly. It could be proprietary information. It could be personal data. It could be personal information from people, individuals, companies. And all this information is kind of the trade secret of whoever is operating that generative AI platform, ChatGPT-3, in this case, in your example. So yes, it's possible that it contains private and personal information, but that has been redacted from responses that ChatGPT-3 would offer. So a typical example of this is that if you ask ChatGPT-3 a controversial question, it's not going to answer you, and it's going to say that it can't answer it. So yes, it's very much possible personal data can be used, has been used, and potentially will be used.
What would that technology actually reveal about someone?
So when it comes to information collection and information protection, we have to realize that when we use third-party technologies, we use, let's say, a ChatGPT-3 or something that Google has designed or Microsoft has designed or one of the hundreds of different technology companies have designed, When we start using their platforms, there's the thing called the end user license agreement. Now, we never read it. An average person never reads the EULA. And the EULA contains all of these things in a legal terminology that, hey, we're going to use your data, whatever information you put in, we're going to use it, we're going to repurpose it, and so on and so forth. And that's kind of the condition for us to use those platforms. Now, when you create an account with any online platform, any online technology, it's very it's a regular practice to ask for name, age, date of birth, in some cases, credit card information. And so companies are collecting this information. And how are they using it? Will they use it? Where will they use it? And will they get their generative AI to train on this data is the big question that nobody's going to answer just in a very straightforward manner, because it's controversial. But does that mean they're not collecting that information? No, they definitely are. And that's the challenge that we are in at right at this moment, is where do we trade off our privacy to the use or the benefit that these generative AI technologies are providing?
Do you fear the manipulation of these kinds of chatbots by outside third parties as a means to influence individuals or incite them or incite groups to certain types of behaviors?
Now, generative AI technologies, including ChatGPT-3 as an example, are just beginning to emerge. This means that the possibilities are numerous. We're seeing ChatGPT-3 being used by university students or school students to write their essays to get into graduate programs. And that's a very initial use case. Now, can a third party use these platforms to influence certain people and get them to do things? Absolutely, yes. That's the biggest danger of generative AI technology, is that how do you influence other people through automation by creating content, by creating not just text content, by writing automated blogs, by creating content that has hate, that has other bad things in it, including video content, including deepfakes. So all this content that can be created is generative AI content, generative AI powered content. And how you use that information and how you use those outputs is really to the imagination. It's very much possible that fighting crime in the future, in the near future, will get much more complex, because now you're not dealing with a person with a firearm. You're not dealing with terrorists who are physically harming people, but you're dealing with corporations that are going to harm individuals and people in society by creating content that's hateful, by creating content that can harm others. And so we're headed into very interesting and scary times at times.
You know, there are some reports that hackers and researchers are able to actually use ChatGPT to create malware and other viruses that can escape detection in some cases. Now, is this technology going to change the face of the internet and threaten the security of our lives on the web?
So when it comes to generative AI technologies and the structure of the internet, a lot is happening. Now, we started with something, called the World Wide Web. We've then moved into Web 2.0. We're talking about Web 3.0. Now, all these different complex ways in which the web is kind of created and exists, the internet exists. There's also the metaverse, where it's a completely different world. Now, when it comes to generative AI and what it can do with us or for us when we are on the internet, it can definitely change our interaction. There's the case of malware being created or viruses being created by generative AI. And the complexity of the situation is that AI is much better at creating these viruses or creating malware, because it's got unlimited possibilities and iterations it can create and test code at a much rapid pace than a human, right? Traditionally, viruses would be coded by a person, and a person would create a code and release it out there in the world, and that would be the virus. But now you have powerful technologies such as artificial intelligence that's creating a virus. It's making it better every single iteration, and it's finding ways to make it more penetrative, more damaging. And so cybersecurity is going to become much more complex in the next few years, because now we're battling an enemy which is not a physical, which is not a person, but a technology. And we have to arm ourselves really in a very strategic way to protect ourselves.
So I'm interested, how can consumers protect themselves in the present from this in the future?
Now, first of all, in terms of protecting ourselves in the future, we absolutely need to hold technology companies accountable and responsible for everything that they're creating. The process of creating technology, AI as an example, or ChatGPT-3, generative AI, video, generative AI, audio content, all of these are not just about recording something, but where computers are creating code, computers are creating content where there are no controls. Now, if we let this out of our hands and let technology determine and these companies determine what they should be doing, then nothing is in our hands. We are just at the mercy of some specific people or organizations or corporations that dictate how we behave, how we interact with the world, and what happens to people in the end. I think it's time to take control on how companies are actually creating products. There has to be regulation on how and what organizations and big tech can create and what are they allowed to create. See, in the last few years, in the history of the internet, there's been very little control on technology companies and holding them accountable on the content they create, the systems they create, and how they monetize them. Every big tech company creates and creates content and systems, and they monetize our information to benefit themselves. But now things have to be a little bit different because now it's getting much more complex. One of the core architectural things that can change is changing to a new architecture of the web called Web3, where people who are on the other side, you and I, we can be in charge of our own information, and we can allow and disallow people from using our information to be monetized and for them to benefit.
So because of this, do you think it's better for policies to be made by individual countries, or should a global policy be created?
So from a country-to-country basis, it's very difficult for everybody to come to consensus, right? We have disagreements even and rules and regulations different between the Americas and between the EU. And both of these regions, as an example, they proceed with rules and regulations with respect to technology in a different way. There are some countries that are making a little bit more progress than we are. And let me tell you, we are really, really behind the curve right now on creating this regulation. Surprisingly, if you look at the Middle East, you look at the United Arab Emirates, you know, you hear about cities like Dubai and Abu Dhabi, they are progressive enough to say that, hey, we need a minister of artificial intelligence to figure out and understand what to do with AI. And that's progressive thinking. So if I see regulation coming through from anywhere, it's either going to be a small pocket in Europe, maybe in Estonia or in Asia, in Singapore, or maybe in the UAE or even Saudi Arabia that is really, really taking AI very seriously in developing it. When it comes to Americas, when it comes to the Western world, there are far too many powerful technology companies that exist here that control the dialogue, that control the conversations that happen in the, you know, in the big houses of government. And so that's the big challenge. I think we have to have two different types of dialogues. One is a global dialogue at a global level with every country involved, and another is at a local level to try and strengthen our own walls and to strengthen our own communities and country.
Thank you, Ian. Stick around. You know, this sounds like a great time to take a break, but Ian will be back with us to talk about the political bias of AI. We'll be right back.
counteroffensive? What counteroffensive? Was Ukraine's recent attack along five sections of the front merely an expensive PR stunt? It would seem so. Washington has no interest in seeing this conflict end. This bodes badly for Ukraine and Ukrainians.
Only one main thing is important for Nazism, internationally speaking, and that is that nations that are allowed to do anything are the master races. And then you have the minor nations who are the slaves.
Americans, Barack Obama and others, have had a concept of American exceptionalism.
International law exists as long as it serves American interests. If it doesn't, it doesn't exist.
By turning the Russians into this dangerous boogeyman that wants to take over the world, that was a conscious strategy.
Zusammenbruch der Sowjetunion eigentlich wie eine Art Filetstück auf dem silbernen Tablett lag.
NATO said, ha, it's ours, we move east.
The reason U.S. hegemony is so dangerous is it denies the sovereignty of other countries.
The exceptionalism that America uses in its international war planning is one of the greatest threats to the populations of different nations.
If NATO were disbanded, shareholders in the United States and elsewhere in large arms companies would lose millions and millions.
War is business, and business is good. And that is the reality of what we're facing, which is fascism.
Let us continue our conversation about AI and the growing role it is playing in society with Ian Kahn, CEO and founder of Futuracy Research. Ian, do you see chatbots as posing a threat to our social fabric and the social well-being of individuals? I mean, are people going to become deluded into thinking they can have a relationship, for example, with a chatbot?
So when it comes to the future of chatbots, it's very much possible that if we let things out of control, if we don't control what we see, how we see it, where we see it, then things will go totally out of hand. It's not completely impossible that we'll end up having a relationship with a chatbot, and people will get emotionally involved with a chatbot or an avatar of some kind that's driven by AI technologies. And because it's so easy to create content, create that engagement, create this artificial persona of an entity that doesn't even exist, but behaves and feels like a human being on a screen, it's very much possible that certain people in the future will be in intimate relationships with these entities and these avatars that are created. We have to be careful about where we're headed, because right now the future of humanity is kind of in peril if things go out of control.
How can we trust the developers of these types of technology to be objective and unbiased? I mean, we are already seeing that ChatGPT has a clear left-wing bias from numerous examples. Are people on the right just going to have to create their own artificial intelligence, or can we have a technology that is more neutral?
In many cases, artificial intelligence right now, today, is biased. There's a whole area of conflict within AI where it has different biases. And the reason for that bias is the training data and also who has programmed that AI technology. And depending on these two factors, your AI could be totally anti a certain group of people or anti a certain idea or a philosophy. And that's where we are right now. The creation and the design of AI is not perfect. The training data it uses is not perfect. And at the end of the day, it really depends on whoever is programming, creating those algorithms and writing that actual code, is what are they thinking about and what kind of a output do they desire from this AI technology. I really feel that it's an area of very complicated decision making, of accountability, and us really thinking as a community as a whole, whether you're a right or a left wing, that how can we come together and create something that benefits humanity? We have to shun our own personal agendas and come together to solve this problem. Otherwise, it might just get completely out of hand.
Is there any fear that artificial intelligence can become fully conscious and autonomous in the future? Are we staring down the barrel of the Terminator or Matrix movies anytime soon?
So when you think about 100% autonomy of AI systems or beyond autonomy, you're looking at AI being sentient. It's thinking. It has a mind of its own, and it can make decisions about good or bad or certain outcomes. It is possible, but not today. Today, it's not possible. AI right now is considered to be in a very narrow field, so it's known as artificial narrow intelligence. It can do certain things, but we're slowly headed towards the next phase of AI called artificial general intelligence, where it has much more intelligence and it can power different things. It can automate many different things. It can make certain decisions as well. And the stage after that, which is what we're talking about, technology being sentient, is artificial superintelligence, where sentient AI will be able to manage everything, create things, build things. And you're looking at the Terminator 3 scenario, Terminator 4 scenario, and these future scenarios where that possibly, we will end up, we won't control anything, but technology will be able to dictate things. And that is an era that not even AI scientists are looking forward to. I've spoken with countless scientists over the last few years filming our documentary, AI, The Next Frontier, that's coming up later this year. They're not looking forward to artificial superintelligence. And if we stayed in the AGI era, the next era from now, they would be rather happy. It is possible, and you never know what's happening behind closed doors and in labs, in AI labs that are designing things. We don't know. Some things don't make it to the public, arena. But it's definitely possible.
So let's say society decided AI was going to be detrimental to society. Is it too late to stop or limit AI integration into the world? Would we even want to?
So there are a few different things that are happening in the world as we know it. There are the vendors, the providers, the companies that are building technology, and we as consumers don't control that. We do nothing about it. We can't do anything about it because it's beyond many, many walls of legal implications and frameworks. And so we are unable to dictate what these companies do as a whole. At a personal level, we interact with technologies that are out there in the world in our everyday lives. And there is some control that we can exert on that, whether we end up using a technology or not using it, or using it in a way to harm others or to benefit ourselves and so on. There's many different ways of looking at it. When it comes to being productive, when it comes to, creating a better world, then absolutely. I mean, we cannot live without technology. Think about stopping to use your cell phone or your computers. We cannot live in the modern world without using certain parts of technology. And so, funny enough, right now, our relationship with technology is also changing. The way we interact with technology is changing, right? Back in the day when the internet released and the internet was a first fresh thing, I remember many people were hesitant in going online and logging onto their bank and checking their balances and so on because they were afraid that somebody would steal their money. Come today, 2023, we cannot live without an app or when we have to transfer money or do or pay with our phone even. And so that's the relationship change that's happening. Right now, today, we're very afraid of AI, but maybe in the next 5 years, if it progresses in a nice way, it adds more benefit to our lives, then we might end up liking it and doing things that'll impact the world in a positive way. So it really depends on how the public is educated, how these technology companies, these creators of AI technologies and algorithms, what do they create? And do they create fear in the world or do they create good, positive stuff in the world? And we can actually maybe solve some of the biggest challenges that the world faces today.
Ian, there are leaders like Bill Gates and Elon Musk. They seem to have different perspectives on AI. Both actually have made their money off technology. Do you think their debate is helping or hurting this conversation?
My personal opinion, I think it's beneficial to some extent, but at a larger level, it's very confusing because it's two of these very famous, very influential people debating things that average, ordinary people do not understand. You and I and everybody else in the world, we need to understand the implications of these technologies on our daily lives rather than on the corporations and the big factories and the big different organizations these people run. So those conversations are are two different things. I really feel a lot of it is very harmful. It's not productive. It doesn't help in any way. And I really wish there were other leaders or these leaders who would help people understand what these technologies can really do and how they can benefit people and humanity as a whole. So, yeah, that's my opinion. I think the dialogue needs to change a little bit.
Thank you, Ian Khan, for joining us. You know, the development of technology can be a good thing for the enhancement of a society, as long as it is done responsibly. You know, AI chat platform GPT is not perfect and can still make mistakes or generate biased responses if it is not trained properly or if it is used inappropriately. These are real concerns which become serious problems if not addressed during the initial phase of its creation and integration. Sadly, we are already seeing those whose only goal is profit choosing to compromise the current day ethical standards, which those in the future will have to answer for. I'm Skynell Hughes, and this has been your 360 view of the news affecting you. Thanks for watching.